This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results. The standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. We're joined in studio by the great Jeremy Roenick. Over 500 goals in his career. We were actually speculating amongst ourselves. This might be a sore spot because I wasn't aware. And I just said, is he in the Hall of Fame? And Cake's like, Scott to be in the Hall of Fame. You're not in the Hall of Fame yet.
Not yet. Mm-hmm. Not yet.
Does that make you insane?
I mean, what more do you have to do? You had 12.
Hey, listen, I made it in the U.S. Hall of Fame, first ballot. So, so that's good. You know, it's I have one of those careers that that are always going to be critiqued, right? You know, I never won a Stanley Cup, never won a major award. I've been up for a couple, but you know, some of those things are the guidelines to get into the hall. And
so, like, the major awards, MVP, like, how close did you get?
I was pretty close in my 50 goal years. You know, top five, right. Top four, but you know, it's a really difficult club to get into.
Yeah, I would imagine.
It really is. I mean, if you look at some of the guys who really waited a long time, you had Dave Andrechuk waited 11 years before he got in. Mark Recchi, who 565 goals, three Stanley Cups. He's been on Olympic gold medal team. He took him four chances before he got in the hall. So. And they say if you talk about the hall, you don't get into the hall. So I'm very aware of talking about it. I hope it happens. It's kind of the last threshold, right? And if it happens, I don't know if I'll be able to control myself. To tell you the truth.
So you've been out of the league, what, 10, let's just say 10 years. So,
yes,
For people who didn't see you, by the way, I played the Sega hockey game all the time and always had played with Roenick.
That's so much me. It's Roenick. He's good.
Roenick is good. For those who didn't see you play, who would you compare your style with on this Caps roster, if there's anybody?
If you take that first line and smash them all together, just put them all together. You have Kuzis, what he does, what Ovechkin does, and then what Wilson does. If you smash all those three together,
pretty good player.
Then you got me.
That's what Alan was saying. Yeah. For a guy who broke in the league at 150, he said Roenick could hit.
Well, I didn't hit when I got to the league, and at 150, my second preseason game, I would always swing by guys because I didn't like to hit anybody because I was so little. And Mike Keenan grabbed me by the throat on the bench, literally grabbed me by my throat, and I don't know what this thing is in your throat.
Your larynx, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. And his fingers actually touched behind, and I was, he was spitting in my face yelling, screaming at me if I didn't finish my checks, I would never play a game in the league as long as he was the coach. Scared the hell out of me. I almost started crying.
How
on the bench.
Old were you at this point?
18.
18 years
old. Yeah, I was 18 years old. I just got there.
Yeah.
So here I am now. Oh my God. Now I have to start throwing my body into these giant men. Mm-hmm. I mean, giant men. Mm-hmm. I mean, that were 50, 60 pounds heavier. And I found that if my speed, because I was fast as hell, I would give up as much speed to have that velocity to be able to hit. And I started hitting as hard as I could. And I found that I'd lay one guy out, fans would go crazy. Then I'd score a goal, fans would go crazy. So I kept, you know, became the way that I played. I mean, I had a lot of ice bags and a lot of injuries because of it. But
did you have to get in a lot of fights because of it?
I did. I got in a lot of fights because of it. Because
did you like them?
Yeah, of course I liked fights. I didn't like losing so much. I mean, I fought Bob Probert. I fought Marty McSorley twice. Oh. I fought Craig Berube.
Guys are animals. Yeah.
I fought tough guys.
Yeah. Craig Berube was in studio with us 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I still remember because we asked him, like, what's your go-to move in a fight? And he took cakes.
He put him in a chokehold.
He took his sweatshirt at the time.
I was wearing a jersey. He just grabbed the jersey with one hand and pulled it up. Over my head.
It was an instant.
And then I gotta
tell you the story about Berube. I'll try to keep it really short. Keep it tight. I ran Hextall in a game. Mm-hmm. Holmgren sends out Berube to fight me. So we start fighting, melee, all five guys. Referee has his hands all tied up. Not supposed to hit somebody who's defenseless. I'm like, bang. I absolutely smoke him. For three years, every time we played him, when I stepped on the ice, Berube would stand up on the bench, call one of his guys off the ice, and jump on and chase me, right? Because he was going to get me because he was just such a
chief. I mean, he was no one to mess with.
No. He is a crazy, crazy fighter and not all there sometimes. Great guy. I love him to death now, but not then. So for 3 years, he would do this every time we played, but I eluded him. He would skate right to the bench. When I come to the bench, he's like, I'm going to kill you.
He never caught you for 3 years?
3 years, never got me. Well, he was a fourth liner. Sometimes he didn't get on the ice when I was there. Yeah. So when I signed in Philly, he wasn't there. But halfway through the year, the Flyers signed him to a minor league player coach position. Mm. Now, that's okay because he's in the minors. Right. Although in Philly, their minor league club shares the same practice facility with the big club.
The Phantoms, right?
Yeah, the Phantoms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all he has to do is walk through the door, and he can come into the Flyers' locker room. Now, he can go anywhere he wants because he's been a Flyer for a long time, and I'm taping my stick in the locker room getting ready for practice. And he walks in, and everybody's like, hey, Chief, what's going on? I'm like, hey, Chief, what's going on? He comes up to me, hey, JR. Bang!
You're kidding.
He popped me.
Really?
You're kidding. Popped me right in the mouth.
I go down
on one knee. I see the stars, and he reaches down. He grabs me by the hand, picks me up, and says, I told you I'd get you.
That's like stuff you'd seen in a movie.
Yeah. He really hit you, though.
He really hit me.
Did you expect that?
Hell no.
Were you pissed off?
Let's just say I didn't feel comfortable when he walked into the room, but I didn't think he was going to hit me like that. And,
right.
But then we played golf that later that afternoon, and we became great friends.
That's
yep. Yeah, we became great.
That was it.
Yeah, listen.
That's just the code.
Yeah, yeah, right? It is a code. There's no question. And listen, he lived up to his
You came in the league when you were 18, like you said, first year in Chicago. Chicago was 88, 89.
Yeah.
How did you handle being amongst adults, guys who had kids? And you got money. I don't know how much money you had, but you're 18 years old. I mean, how did you handle that?
If you would have seen me at 18 years old, you'd be like, this kid looks like he should be a freshman in high school. I just finished my junior year of high school, to tell you the truth.
Where'd you live the first year in Chicago?
I actually lived with a family.
That's what Lawton told us, too.
Which is important because I was just coming from my parents' house, and now I'm moving into the big city of Chicago. When I walked into the Chicago Blackhawks locker room at 158 pounds, the first person I saw is a guy named Dan Vincelette. Mm-hmm. He's about 230 pounds. He had more hair on him than Sasquatch. Okay? He had a receding hairline and no teeth. Uh-huh. And I swear to God, I was like, what did I just walk into? And you know, he had more hair on his chest than I had on my whole body. And it freaked me out so bad that I was like, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. And I literally skated on fear. I skated that if these guys catch me, I am done. And these guys were animals. It's not like the game today. Back then, when they had no instigator rules, you have to police yourself.
Right. It was a full-on blood sport.
It wasn't big contracts.
Right.
Guys were, you know, nobody knew what everybody else was making. If somebody left the game and somebody else stepped in, they could take your job. I mean, it was free for all. Mm-hmm. You know, survival of the fittest. So there were fights every day. Really? Practice
when you took
every
on those
day.
Guys, when you took on like Bob Probert, he's like one of the legendary monsters.
Yeah. He just ragdolled me. I mean, you can look it up on YouTube. He just ragdolls me. I mean, he comes after me.
Are you terrified? Or like, why do you even do it?
It happens too fast to be terrified. Afterwards, you're sitting in a box and your heart's going like a million miles an hour. And you're like, okay, I survived that one.
But you earned street cred, Wilson? Too. You get street cred.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You get street cred.
What was the one where Wilson came out? Who was that? Was that in the Maple Leaf series? I can't even remember.
No, it was... against Vegas. Who was the
who's the guy
came
who fought?
Out right out of the box?
No,
that was Eglin.
That was Toronto.
That was Tampa.
Tampa. That was
Tampa.
Against that was.
Oh, what was the dude?
They fought before. They were
the guy
in the
from
box.
Philly.
They immediately come out. It was Game Seven.
Oh, the guy from Philly.
It was Game Seven. I can't recall.
Never happened.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, it was the old Philly guy. What's that?
Were they talking in the box? Going, let's go.
I think so.
Oh, for sure they were.
Did you know that was going to happen?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah,
because you know that he pulled Kuzi's shirt off, and he you don't disrespect your players, yeah, and threw it on the ice, and that
Coburn, it was Coburn,
yeah. Coburn,
yeah,
and
is that guy a fighter?
No,
he's a big, strong guy. I wouldn't call him a fighter.
But he knew he was on the wrong side of that one going in, right?
Well, you knew because Wilson wanted to get at him so bad, where he was on the cusp of linesman. Referee.
See, I didn't even realize. Right? I heard Craig Lachlan talk about it, I think, the next day. I didn't realize that it wasn't taking the jersey off. It was taking the jersey and throwing it. Throwing it on the ice is like the ultimate sign of disrespect.
Disrespect. Yeah. Well, listen, when we're in the locker rooms and you're taking your stuff off and you're throwing it in the bins or anything, if that thing touches the ground, you're going to hear about it from everybody.
Yeah,
so that shirt does not touch the floor.
It's like the flag. It's like the flag.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
Yeah. We respect our shirts and our flag very, very, very strongly.
I mean, that's why Wilson went into the blind rage.
Blind
rage. It doesn't take much to get him there, but that certainly sent him over.
I'll take that kid on my team anytime. Absolutely. There's no question about it. So
getting back to your first year, was there a certain player or players that said, all right, kid, you follow me and I'll take care of you? Or were you on your own from the outset?
I mean, I had guys like the top guys for Chicago at the time were Dennis Savard, Doug Wilson, Steve Larmer. These guys took me under their wing and pretty much told me, you know, how to act and what to do. Taught me how to play cards the wrong way. I was their guppy in the poker game every night. But they definitely watched after me. Actually, the first guy that ever fought for me is Marc Bergevin, who's now the GM in Montreal. Makes you feel pretty good. Makes you feel really pretty empowered when you're on the ice. So I had a lot of guys that watched after me, but I like to throw down and fight myself. So, you know, and I thought because of the way I ran around and the way I hit, which I would get suspended for every week in this game today, the way I hit, because I would leap off my skates. I would try to hit people in the head as much as I could. I mean, I literally tried to inflict pain as much as I could. But it's one of those things where you have to have your edge, right? So in Chicago, I had a lot of guys that did it. And when you run around like that, you have to be expected to stick up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I've said this, a lot of guys in the game today who run around and don't, you know, take accountability for the way that they play. To me, that's no good.
We compare eras all the time. Like we've been doing it a lot with LeBron and Jordan because of the NBA Finals. But If the 83 Edmonton Oilers were playing today, or the Islanders from 84, whatever, those super teams were playing today, would they be as dominant based on the style of play?
No, without question. Today's game is so fast, so powerful, so talented. These kids are just bred to play this game. And if you watch those games in the 80s and watch how they skated, they're like, is this really pro hockey?
Yeah.
You know, they were good and all, but, I mean, they looked like, a lot of them looked like they had, you know, duck feet or, you know, bow legs. And, you know, the goaltenders were doing one-legged splits, you know, instead of doing all this fancy athletic stuff. The game has evolved so much because they've been bred to do it. I mean, when I played in the game, in the back of the plane, it was beer and poker. You know, now it's health shakes and video games, right? Mm-hmm. It's just these kids. I didn't see an ab on a hockey player until I was 27 years old.
You didn't skate off in the late 80s and get a smoothie as soon as you came off the ice?
No, exactly. When I came into Chicago, our weight room had a couple dumbbells. It had two bikes, both with chains. One of the chains was off the bike. You know, it's two benches where you can do what you needed to do, but that was it. I mean, physical fitness wasn't our training camps were an hour and a half game, you know, go in and lift weights for 20 minutes and then head to the bar to lift 12 ounces for 5 hours, you know, come back, do it again.
Yeah, rinse and repeat.
You rinse and repeat. That's what we did. It was. It's a total different mentality now. I mean, and I swear to God, I mean, if you walked into an NHL locker room in 1988 and looked at the body shapes of these guys, right, you'd be like, these guys work in Dunkin' Donuts. Right. They don't play hockey.
Yeah.
Right. And nowadays, these kids look like they are all in high school. They're all shredded, all in perfect shape, and they are just machines.
And you can see it on the ice. Can you stick around for one more segment?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Money. Let's do another one. And
absolutely.
Let's kind of break this down a little bit, get our expectations, our predictions. And then I want to talk a little bit about just all the dues the Caps have paid. The Caps have paid their dues.
Yep.
Takes.
Absolutely.
Is this team that wasn't even around a year ago, can they come in and actually win this thing?
I told
we'll take a couple calls, too. We've got some guys who got questions, too.
All right. We've got Jeremy Ronan. Great. JR's here. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. Jeremy Roenick, studio analyst for the NHL on NBC, hanging out with us in studio. We'll weave in some phone calls here. Somebody tweeted, can you ask Roenick why he didn't sign with the Caps back in 96 when he was a free agent after we brought him down to the then MCI Center construction site trying to persuade him to sign with us?
Did we wine and dine you? Did we try?
It was kind of an interesting situation because I couldn't just go sign, right? I needed to have an offer sheet being offered to me because I was a restricted free agent. So it's not like I could have just gone to Washington or gone to the Islanders. They would have had to have given me a contract that Chicago would have had to match.
Right.
Right. So I wasn't just free to go where I wanted to go. Tough.
And he wanted to go to Phoenix. Who wouldn't want to live in Scottsdale? I'd like to.
Well, they own my rights, and I asked them for a contract, what they wanted. They gave me exactly what I wanted. And it's kind of funny because Chicago at the time said I would never make $4 million a year. And that's what I wanted. I wanted $4 million. Yeah, by the way, I'd scored 50 goals twice
right
in 19 before 96. I had 100 points three times, and I was asking for $4 million, and that wasn't happening. Where Eric Lindros in 93 came in, he made $3 million right off the bat. Mm-hmm. In 1993 or 94, when Eric Lindros didn't even play a game in the league, he's making $3 million. By the way, Mark Messier, who was the MVP of the league, was making $1.5 million when Eric Lindros started making $3 million. So I didn't think it. 1996, $4 million was a lot, but it was for Chicago. And then I ended up making not only $4 million in Phoenix for 5 years, I made $9 million in Philly.
Oh, I mean, pop that up.
Yeah.
Capitalism is fine.
You have FU money at this point, don't you?
I assume
you were pretty smart with your money.
I had an agent that made sure that he invested it well, but I don't have the FU money anymore because my FU money is now in Vegas and in bookies' pockets and a couple restaurants that are now holes in the ground
that never work.
So
right?
I made a few bad choices in my life.
Do you have a good one? Do you have a great investment that you ever did?
I do have a really good investment. I had a friend who asked me to put $25,000 into a piece of property in Arizona.
Yeah.
This is back in 97, 98. So I gave him 25 grand. In less than a year, he gave me back almost
$500,000. Oh, my God.
And it wasn't a Ponzi scheme?
What
That's amazing.
Into?
It was actually a big piece of land that Caterpillar had bought, and it was way out in the that's you wouldn't think that anybody would ever go out this far in Arizona, but it grew so fast, so big, that they bought it there and resold it for ridiculous amounts of money. And
that's a good one.
That's a really good,
that's a good one.
All right,
let's bring out some of these calls here. But real quick, I want to ask you, is there anything to the fact that I was kind of alluding to this with the guys? It's just a theory I have. So the Golden Knights is a great group of guys, unbelievable story. They're all scrappers sort of in their own right, right? Because, I mean, they're not complete cast offs, but they're put together. They have this unbelievable year.
Their leading scorer was a fourth liner last year.
Right. So I have all the respect in the world for them, but they don't have, they haven't built, like the Caps have been there year after year after year, and they know, I feel like they know what it takes now because mm-hmm. they've lost so many times. They've had so many close calls. They've built up this resiliency or whatever. Is there anything to that?
Well, I think there's no question that losing and losing and losing.
Come from nowhere and just do this.
You know why? Because they had the recipe and they used it to a T every game. They committed to it every game. They committed to each other every game.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just a fluke that they
right.
that they are where they are.
They deserve it.
They finished in the top five best teams in the National Hockey League. All of us were waiting for the clock to strike 12 and this team to go right down the toilet. But they committed to each other. Every single game they worked for each other. And there's not a team in the National Hockey League that did it as much as Vegas did. And, you know, it's that saying that hard work will beat talent 7 days a week when talent doesn't want to work. Well, sometimes when you've been around for a long time and you've had success and you've had failure, you can fall into complacency. 82 games. There's a lot of times where you're going to see a team that's flat. I mean, that we just talked about Washington. This team, the Golden Knights, were not flat pretty much all year, with the exception of maybe three or four games in the course mm-hmm. of the year. They work, and they work harder than anyone, longer than anyone, and that's a recipe for success.
But now I feel like the Caps they're matching them with work.
I think. This is the first time that I've seen Vegas tired.
Mm-hmm.
Games two and games three, they were so not effective because they are the Caps are doing a great job of defending their speed, taking away their speed by their physicality, taking away their speed by working for each other. Like if one guy gets beat, their partner's right there, you know, backing them up. And so the guys have to go through two or three layers to try to get quality chances. And not only does that burn you out physically, burns you out mentally. These chances where you get chances to score, where you're, you know, I got the puck, I'm ready. This was the opportunity that I would have to score. Now they don't have that opportunity to score. So mentally, I just think they're tired right now. I think Washington's done an amazing job of being so physical against a team that relies on that speed.
JR, what are the Caps doing that Winnipeg, the Sharks, and the LA Kings couldn't do to Fleury? How are they getting to him?
They are, number one, they're getting good, really good net front presence. But what they do is they make that one or two extra passes that fool everybody. Perfect example, Lars Eller's goal in game two, right? An amazing pass by Kempney.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody thinks Kempney's going to shoot because he's one-on-one with the goaltender. Makes that one extra pass that fools Fleury, fools Miller, fools a lot of everybody in the arena. The puck's in the back of the net.
They're out of position.
Out of the position. Yeah. You know, changing the angles and, you know, pretty much, you know, doing the things that, and putting more pucks at the net, to tell you the truth. I think, you know, you can only be so good for so long. Fleury's been, he's mm-hmm. been caught a couple times.
All right, let's bang out a bunch of these calls. A lot of people want to talk to you, JR. Let's go to Dennis, who's been on hold for almost an hour. He's got a story for you. Dennis, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Junks, Jeremy. I need some, legal advice. My brother was the sole light pole climber after the win. He's currently still in jail and facing four charges. So we're trying to figure out if he needs a lawyer or not. So charge one,
charges?
Climbing the light pole.
What are the charges?
Climbing the light pole. So I called him. So he's been in... Oh, so I guess they the judge isn't there on Sunday, so he's just been in there hanging out since he got arrested. Charge one was climbing the light pole, which I guess that's a charge. He's facing two charges of inciting fear and violence, which I guess it means like hyping up a crowd, inciting riots. And then I guess he got hit with a resisting arrest too, which he looked like he was not resisting at all.
Was this? I didn't even know about this. I was out and about. Was this covered by a lot of people? Drabby, give me some background on this.
Oh, it was everywhere.
Lots of videos of that guy climbing the pole.
Yeah.
By
the way, it's not Philly because they put grease on the light poles in Philly, so they can't do it.
Right.
Was he hammered?
He was absolutely hammered. But I was. Yeah. I woke up thinking like this could be like a bish type situation where his girl Daniel Bogoli. This is a clear claim to fame right here, but I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, I think he's done climbing light poles from now on out.
Yeah. So, in jail for about 36
hours.
Lawyer?
No, I'm currently seeking any kind of advice that Dunk to Jeremy.
All right. If anybody knows an attorney or somebody, give this guy some help because he sounds like he needs a lot of
His
help.
His brother will probably get out today, though.
We're hoping that judge
to get the game tonight. He's got to get to the game.
How can a judge in D.C. hold a guy in jail when he was celebrating the first home win in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Right.
Yeah. I think
Google
a lawyer will get that cleaned up real quick.
I would think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dennis. Good luck.
Get his information. If you're an attorney that can help him, just contact us and we'll
call Mooney.
Yeah, call Mooney.
He'll hook you up.
Well, Mooney doesn't have DC contacts.
Oh, that's true. It's DC. You're right. I guarantee he's got contacts.
Mooney's so good, he would actually get him tickets to like game six.
He'll be sitting on the glass.
All right, let's go. Let me see. Let's go to Conlon Ashburn. Conlon, what's up?
Hey, John. Hey, Jeremy, huge, huge fan, long time no see. I actually played on your brother Trevor's hockey team here in D.C.
No kidding. That's funny.
For the, you remember the Fairfax Flyers, you used to come out on the ice all the time. I believe your mom was even a coach or at least helped out.
Yeah, my mom was definitely hands-on. She was a screamer, too. She called me so many names in the course of my lifetime when I played. She called me the P word. Get off the ice, you.
Right.
Yeah,
can you imagine your mom doing that?
It's amazing. Impossible. I have so much confidence in my life right now that you know.
That's great.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Was the most memorable coach I had, having a female hockey coach growing up. Don't forget that.
Yeah, right.
Who was the second best player on the Fairfax Flyers?
Trevor Roenick.
Well, my brother was pretty good. My brother played every pro league. He played one game in the exhibition in the NHL. He played in the East Coast, the AHL, the West Coast. He even played in the English pro hockey league. I didn't even know they had an English pro hockey league.
So the Roenicks dominated the Fairfax.
Yeah, we were pretty good.
Let's go to Eric Silver Spring. Eric, what's up? You're on with Jeremy Roenick.
Gentlemen.
Hey,
what's up?
Good to hear from you, JR.
What's up, Eric?
That one guy, don't worry about his DC. They'll no paper that him climbing the pole by the day. They're just going to, because he needs, but by the way that guy sounded, I don't think his brother wants to be in D.C. jail too long.
No, right. Not at all.
That's right.
Yeah. Quick question, y'all. In your career, you were an all-around player. How many, if any, Gordie Howe hat tricks did you have?
Yeah, that's a great question.
What's a Gordie Howe hat trick? I'm embarrassed.
So Gordie Howe hat trick is a fight, an assist, and a goal.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Oh,
yeah. And gotcha. I bet you I had at least 10 or 11 Gordie Howe hat tricks in my career. I mean, I had 45, 50 fights, and there's no question I scored a bunch of those. Right. That's a great question.
Do guys ever take note of that?
Like absolutely.
Afterwards?
Absolutely.
In the locker room or whatever?
Everybody knows where the Gordie Howe hat trick is and when you've got it. That's a great question. And one that you're very proud of in the locker room afterwards because you had an all-around game right there.
Let's go to Mary. Burke. Mary's been on hold for almost an hour and a half. Hey, Mary.
Hello. Let's go Caps.
Let's go Caps.
We've been waiting for this moment for such a long time. I'm only 20 years old, so I have yet to see a Washington championship, actually. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited for this.
Right.
I actually had season tickets for a while, and my dad passed away, and we had to give up the tickets, but I've been watching all season, and I just can't believe it. They've been trying so hard for the past 10-plus years, continuously taking over the division, and I'm so proud of them, and I'm glad they're finally stepping up and playing their game, you know? You can really see it in all of them.
Well, that's the thing. This wasn't supposed to be the Caps team that was going to go this far. Right, this was supposed to be the Caps team. I mean, it was going to be a 5 or 6 seed, and
that's why I said that they finally bought on. I mean, 4 years ago, everybody thought Washington was going to win the Cup. They were number one in the league at the end of the regular season.
Yep.
2 years later, they were the same thing, and you know they just couldn't find a way to overcome that adversity.
Is there one player new that's helped?
I think two players have been really good. I think Smith Pelly has been amazing for this team because he is a grinder that really gets in there. And I say new, I'm talking 4 or 5 years ago, guys that have instilled a work ethic into this team. I think Lars Eller has been amazing, what he's been able to do. Conley's been good. You know, I've enjoyed watching him play and doing.
You know
what
who's grittier than I ever knew? Because I thought he was just this kind of like one trick pony from the whatever that was, the Olympics or whatever. It was Oshie. Oshie is gritty,
tough dude.
Like, Oshie
does it all.
The sneaky, sneaky superstar.
Right.
And I say that because he doesn't look like Kuzi flying down the ice looking like it's easy.
Right.
Everything Osh does is work, is effort, is determination. And he's not the biggest guy on the ice, but he is one of the most powerful because he's a strong person and he's strong-willed. And he's extremely talented. He sees the ice as well as anybody and knows what to do with the puck 2 or 3 seconds before he gets it.
Right.
He's got such a different talent than everybody else that he can play with anybody. But I will tell you, I think the guy that has really instilled the most into this team in terms of its mentality now is Tom Wilson. Mm. I really do believe that his energy, his physicality makes everybody a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, a little bit braver.
Mm-hmm.
And He deserves a lot of credit for that.
The opponents hear the footsteps when he's out of the ice.
Hell yes.
They know when he's out
there.
Hell
yes. And I think a lot of credit has to go to Mike Babcock from, you know, last year, where Mike Babcock says, you know, there's a whole list of guys that are more that we have to worry about more than Tom Wilson.
Oh.
And I think he took that to heart. And
I bet he did.
I'll tell you what, this guy has been, he's been fantastic.
But Vegas is going to come out desperate tonight.
Yeah.
Against the wall.
This is a huge game for Washington tonight. Yeah, I think this is one where they hold home ice. That's really important when you're the away team. If they lose that home ice advantage, that building back in Vegas is so hard to play in as a road opponent. If they win this game tonight, I think they go back Vegas. They lose in Vegas and they come back and they win
game six.
That'd be storybook.
That'd be great.
That'd be perfect. Yeah. That'll work out just fine.
That'd be great.
Just don't lose tonight and make us nutty.
Exactly.
I just don't think it'd be hard to beat this Washington Capitals team two out of three games.
Yeah.
Or three out of four.
If you win tonight.
Yeah. So it's crazy.
Jeremy, it's been awesome.
This is awesome. I loved it.
Best part of my day, brother.
Thank you, buddy.
This is great. And it's great to be in here and rather being on the phone. And, you know, thanks for everybody for listening.
So we should check out the network tonight on the pregame.
Oh, my God. I got a funny skit tonight. You guys are going to love this skit.
What time do you think that'll air?
That will probably be in the 6 o'clock hour.
Can you tease the listeners a little bit?
Yeah. We did a skit with a couple other mascots. Mm-hmm. Two mascots of professional teams here in Washington.
Nice.
One being Slapshot from the Capitals,
right?
And the other being a team that's still playing, and it is hilarious.
Right.
You're gonna love it.
Can't wait.
Cool. Check it out.
It's the great Jeremy Roenick. Keep it here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports. Washington have a pretty cool prize we're giving away right now to the 10th caller at 800-636-1067.
It's a good one.
You ever heard of a band called U2?
Oh, I may have heard of them.
Well, we're giving away tickets to U2 for their Experience Plus Innocence Tour live June 18th at the Capital One Arena. Tickets on sale now through Live Nation and the Capital One Arena box office. But you can win your way in all week long on 106.7 The Fan. Get more details now at thefandc.com/contest.
Last time I saw U2 live was in 1987. So it's been a little
bit. Is
that
the Joshua Tour?
It was the Joshua Tree Tour. A little bit of a gap between
Joshua
now
Tree
and then.
Tours.
So it would be cool
to
see them live
again.
I've
never seen them.
Well, I mean, you should. What are you waiting for?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you think they're going to play until they're 80?
I haven't seen a lot of concerts, honestly.
Yeah. You're going to see a pretty good band tonight, and you're going to be introing them, Cakes.
Fallout
Can
Boy.
Can I hear your intro voice?
No.
Fallout Boy!
It'll be something along those lines.
Cakes does
it. I was just talking about this with Bobby DeLay. I'm going to make 1,000% sure with the stage manager that when he gives me the mic, that Fall Out Boy is then ready to go. I need
no
like,
gap.
Like Tommy DeLay said, I need to see Pete Wentz and company on their marks, ready to walk out.
What was the most uncomfortable position we've ever been in terms of introducing a band?
We've done a bunch
of them. For me personally, I introduced live about 15 minutes before they were ready to go on stage here in D.C.
I do remember
that. And
that
was very uncomfortable.
But the four of us introduced a band. I think it was Coheed and Cambria.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was at Merriweather Post?
Yes, correct. And, for an HF festival.
And Coheed and Cambria was on the lineup, but they were one of the first bands to play.
Right.
And there weren't that many people out there in the stands yet.
Yeah.
No.
And we introduced them.
The amphitheater hadn't filled in yet.
Right, so there wasn't this huge reaction once we said, Coheed and Cambria. And I just remember the drummer. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was peeking through the curtains. Right. And we were walking backstage, and he went.
See, I didn't see that, but that story is like, it's like an urban legend. I love it.
I
but
he
could have also been doing that about the crowd.
Probably.
Because the crowd for the last couple festivals was.
That's true. It was thin, but I'll say today.
I took it as terrible intro.
When Fall Out Boy takes the stage at 6 p.m. on the steps, I'm guessing the crowd is going to be somewhere in the range of 12 to 15,000.
Oh, it's going to be huge.
If not more.
By the way, I have the perfect thing that you should wear.
Oh, you do?
For the intro. Oh, no. You have to pimp the product with your size t-shirt. Yeah,
I love the fact
size. You can watch this on NBC
Sports.
Can
the cameras
Sports
see that? Yeah.
I'm sure. I mean,
those are very good.
Kind of hacky to wear your own mug, but you need to pimp the product cakes. You're going to have thousands of people. There, you need to wear.
Are you going
to
mention
something
the show?
That's 106.7 The Fan?
I will mention the show for 5 seconds.
Say, Cakes from the Junkies, check us out 6 to 10 every morning.
I might not even get the check us out 6 to 10. Who knows? We'll see how long.
You got to at least get a check out the show 6 to 10.
Look, I'm emceeing from here, like
AWOD's,
four.
AWOD's modeling.
Yes.
Good thing it's not a belly shirt.
Yeah. By the way,
he had
I just
to
say
ask
this?
For an extra large.
I've got to give this shirt to my buddy Brad Phillips, who's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
Because right. he's the one that took he's sized.
He always thought that when we say sized, he thought I was saying sized.
Right.
So he actually coined this.
Right. Yeah, that's his brainchild.
Because we never started saying that.
No.
I started saying it kind of making fun of the way he said it.
Right.
Brad Phillips, you're getting this t-shirt.
I swear, caricatures are such a better looking version of myself. The one at the palm.
There's a better chance that I move
to the
Amazon like next week than I wear that shirt on stage.
Hey, do you know Adam's big plan is to take that T-shirt and wear it out every time he goes bar hopping.
That's
and
his Rom Junkies jersey. That's his way to get attention.
Yeah, attention and free beers.
I noticed too. Is he now doing his show? His podcast at Bar Bow.
I don't know. How would I know that? You're asking a question that nobody has the answer to.
Well, he does.
Well, they are a presenting sponsor, but we have not done a live show there yet.
Oh. Bar Bow.
Bar Bow sent us like gift cards.
Oh, okay. Bow.
And then I think maybe we passed them to. I gave my gift card to Bar Bow to AWOD, and he used it within 2 days.
Of course,
it was like
he did.
$50
because he's felted.
Right. Well, the big thing is, I remember. Do you remember? Was it? They used to have those street concerts. Were we at HFS or when
HFS,
they had the street shows?
I intro'd like Wyclef.
Yeah. And even those, you do the intro and they come out 10 minutes later.
Right. That was,
it was a nightmare.
It was called something on pen.
Yeah, whatever it was. But that we were at HFS at that time?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anytime we've ever introduced a band, it's always been, in hindsight, we're the hacky DJs, we do the bit. And then the band comes out 10 minutes later.
You did James Brown, though.
I did. Well, that one was crazy. I did that one for the Nutcracker.
Mm-hmm.
That one was crazy.
Didn't you have to read something?
Well, they had a legit, like, you could only read exactly word for word. The Godfather of Soul. Blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, you turn around, the curtain goes, and James Brown comes
that's
out.
That's crazy.
That's the sickest thing I've ever seen. He's doing his dance. Yeah. That's the sickest thing I've ever done.
Yes. So getting back to
I'm going
to make sure Fall Out Boy.
I've forgotten.
Those guys did Jay-Z. We're just there.
I'm going to make sure that Fall Out Boy is ready to go.
Yeah, so tell them. You're not doing
like
that
a big,
15
giant
minutes.
Because
what happens is you get the crowd into a frenzy, and then he doesn't come out for 15 minutes.
You look like a jerk.
And then somebody else does an intro.
This is hack, but I think you might have to do it. You might have to wear your Caps jersey with Cakes on the back of it.
I don't have one. I have a Nats jersey with Cakes on the back, but that would look kind of weird if I wore that.
So what jersey? You got a lot of jerseys. What jersey are you going to wear? Your Hopi? You have a Hopi?
I don't have a Hopi. I think I have, because I have to rock the red, I have to wear my Nubs replica.
Oh,
that's all
Cakes.
I got. It's all I got.
You can't wear a replica. You're representing the show.
You can buy one right now.
I have this.
What do you got? What do you got in your bag?
It's my Brooks Like.
Yeah, Brooks Like.
I might steal that.
But it's signed to Jason.
But see, here's the problem. It's signed to me.
Yeah, I can't wear that.
I'm going to wear but they're not going to see the back. They're just going to see the front.
Let's get a current player.
Yeah, can somebody give Cakes a jersey?
I think how many times Cakes have said if they win the Stanley Cup, I'm going to spend $2,000. Yeah. So buy one now.
You can wear this if you want.
Get a koozie.
I need to do it when they win the cup, not before.
Should he wear this?
No.
Go get a jersey koozie with the Stanley Cup badge on it.
A badge.
Yeah, from like the team store.
Whatever you call it.
Yeah.
A patch.
Come on, Squeaker. You're sitting on a pile of money.
$200.
By the way, he's sitting in like $2,000 seats, and he's sitting there with a replica jersey.
Yeah, but he also
that's so nubs. You can't do that.
That's so nubs.
They have free seats for him.
Oh, they will be free seats.
Well, yeah, but it's the most expensive ticket in the house.
Most importantly, I need to get those tickets in my hand because they're not in my hand yet, and I'm already nervous. I need to figure out.
Did you find out they're silly seats?
I don't know.
Well, everybody's going to say, "How'd this number sneak into the stadium?"
Right.
You're going to get jumped.
No promise that they're silly seats. In fact, the text said that they could be last row.
That's fine. Doesn't matter.
You can still sell those blickies for about $2,000.
Oh, I have my daughter cry and call me a terrible father for the rest of my life.
Give her $100 and you make $1,900 out of it.
Yeah, buy her some ice cream.
All right, we got to get out of here for Bish Cakes.
Let's go, Cat.
Let's go, Cat.
Granddaddy.
Be safe, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.